County Planning and Zoning Commission's regular February to provide an annual review of the code. The County Planning and Zoning Commission's regular February meeting shall be exclusively devoted to a review of permits issued the previous year, to a hearing of public comments on the codes, and to the initiation of amendments the commission may consider necessary to improve the code's performance as a growth management tool. Now, due to the fact that we did have to, normally we would have a public hearing, as you said last week, and we would post and make recommendations sometime during this meeting, changes that we would take to the commission to our code book or to our bylaws we might have. Due to the fact that meeting was postponed or canceled, this will become our public hearing, and we can basically talk about anything we need to talk about. We will not be able to vote on any kind of recommendations for changes or anything like that, and that will have to take place during our March meeting.
Actually, this is just a discussion of the
issue. Yes, sir, that is correct.
We can't have, but it's not actually the public hearing, which we can't have except on notice. But it is a public meeting where we're discussing these issues. Okay.
And, yes, sir, and it was posted, you know, for that and everything. So, anyway, that's what I'm saying is we won't be able to recommend any kind of changes or anything like that at this particular juncture.
And Mr. Coxey, in going over the agenda from last week's meeting, there were issues such as the end-of-the-year permit summaries, five-year comparisons, reports on extensions. Do you want to deal with those? We all got those in our packets.
We do have those. Of course, it's summarized in the letter that was attached to that. I can read that letter to you if you'd like, or I can just entertain questions if you'd like.
There's one item that I think is worthy of some note, and that's the item on new fee schedule.
Yes, ma'am. In our 2009, February 2009 meeting, one of the items, as I mentioned there, were six different changes, I believe, that we felt were necessary to present to the commission. We did get three or four of those approved and changed. One of them is our fee schedules. Our fee schedule, I believe, is attached in this report, if I'm not mistaken. But there was a substantial change in some of our fees. But the fee changes were based on actual labor that was put into those fees. When that was presented to the commission, the elected commission, come back to us and say, we would like to know how much time goes into making these reports, how many trips do you make out on each site that's involved with getting these things from start to finish. And so those fees would change based on that particular, and our single-family residential home went from $15 to $50 for the single-family residential home. So, you know, some of the things stayed the same, but our flat fees went up a little bit. Our Division 3 went up, I think, $25. Our Division 2 went up, I believe, $75, if I'm not mistaken. Did it go to 100? So it did go up based on the amount of trips that were required out and everything like that. So that did take effect January 1 of this year, and we have been collecting those fees at that rate.
And those are in the code now as Appendix P?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that right? And then Appendix T?
Yes, sir, it is on the internet. Appendix T is the new page for the fee schedule. What we did, Appendix P was the old one.
Okay.
So that you have a comparison. Okay.
And
I'm telling you backwards, man. No, I'm telling you correct.
Okay. And that has all been approved by the commission, and so it's in the code now.
Right, and that is
in effect.
That is reported in the clerk's office also.
Okay.
So, as we're approved, I will state there were a couple of things last year that we did need to get finalized and haven't yet. Two of the things were the issues where the elected officials need to be the final vote on land use changes, and we don't quite have that worked out yet with what's been going on.
Now that's a major change
It was something that you asked for last year that is has been in front of them, and I will continue to work on those issues until we're either told no or whatever the case might be. So I will continue with those issues that are still outstanding with whatever recommendations we may make in March. The other issue being some kind of an ordinance for the recorder on the subdivision of land.
Okay.
That we have been talking about, and we're just not quite there yet.
Okay. With that in mind, let's move on to the approval of the minutes from January. And if I can find where those are. Minutes of January 11th. And were we snowed out another time?
Are your minutes in here? They were in the second packet, weren't they?
Yeah.
They should be in your second packet.
Okay. January 11th and then January the 18th? 19th.
You had a, it should be on the back of the January 11th packet, I believe,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken. Your regular meeting packet. You got two packets from last one for the public hearing, one for the regular meeting. So, these are the two.
Hello. Nice to see you. Assuming that the members of the commission have reviewed the minutes for the month of January, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of January 11th and January 19th. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Mr. Staples, and a second.
Okay,
Mr. Cummings. All those in favor of approving the minutes from January 11th and January 19th, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Okay. Then let's move into the public hearing section, which is not a public hearing. And Mr. Paulson, again, excuse me for clarification. This is not a public hearing.
That is correct.
Because it has not met the standards of notification for the public.
Correct.
Okay. So do we need to reschedule a public hearing as the first meeting in March?
I don't have the statute in front of me. Correct me if I'm wrong, Eddie. It's 15 days when you're amending the code. You have to publish that notice, whereas a public meeting, all you have to do is have 24 hours notice. And we didn't have 15 days notice, so it's a public meeting, not a public hearing.
And we do have the March meeting already published for that.
Okay. And since there are no properties or projects under consideration, there's no reason why issues that we deal with tonight can't be scheduled for public hearing in that first meeting in March. Is that correct?
And they can be discussed, and the public can have an opportunity to get up and speak as if it's a public hearing. But in a public meeting, there's nothing wrong with discussing those same issues yourself,
okay.
And the public can be here too.
Okay. Well, the first category under consideration are Planning Commission bylaws. So, Mr. Coxey, do you want to deal with those?
We have had several questions about the bylaws for the Planning Commission. So we included in your packet this time a copy of the most recent bylaws that we could find. And we also took the liberty to mark those up just a little bit for you to look at. You'll see at the very start of this, it says, whereas with the third class status, we've bypassed all of that already, several years ago. So there's just a lot in here that needs to be looked at. The bylaws stated that any meeting of the Planning Commission where there's a quorum, these bylaws may be amended by a two-thirds vote of the membership. So that's things that are going on there. It also says on page 2, it says the County Planning Commission shall consist of one of the judges of the county court, the highway engineer, and one resident freeholder appointed to the county court from the unincorporated part of each township in the county, except that no such freeholder shall be appointed from a township in which there is no unincorporated area. I don't know if you want to look at changing maybe the verbiage on that a little bit. Where it says judges of the county court. I do know that the commissioners used to be considered judges. I don't know exactly what this is referring to here, but there's a lot of things in there like that. It says all official meetings shall be held on the second Monday of each month. The meeting will start at 7:30. Of course, I know we've had some questions about the possibility of changing the time on that. It says a study meeting will be held on the fourth Thursday of each month. And then, you know, just things like that, that if you've had a chance to read through this, just it's not real clear. It states the commission may ask for a voluntary resignation if we have members that aren't attending on a regular basis. It doesn't say which commission, if it's the planning commission or the elected commission. The question came up last week, who has the authority to call and cancel a meeting? And it was our contention that it's probably the chairman of this board and everything, but it's not addressed in the bylaws there. So there's just some things like that. And like I say, we've marked these all up. It talks about, you know, not to exceed your payment of $10 per meeting. You know, some different things like that that just need to be changed. So that's why we took the liberty of marking this up, so that you can read through it and then we can entertain whatever changes that you would like to make. That needs to be discussed and then recommended in the month of March.
So, members of the commission, other than just simply updating things such as the term, do we refer to the county commissioners now as the court? Is that the appropriate
county commission?
No, so updating the verbiage, updating the fact that we're a first-class county and no longer a third-class county and some of those kinds of things. Are there substantive kind of issues in the bylaws that you want to address, or can we simply ask the planning and zoning staff to update this? I mean, do you want to talk about the meeting time?
It's been discussed over and over. If we give it to Eddie to do, it might not be the answer that we as a group want.
I mean, you can make your recommendation.
We can make the recommendation.
I can draw up a new document for you that you can look at in March. And then, you know, if you like that, then you can...
You don't need a public hearing for the bylaws.
No.
Obviously, you can do it at any meeting.
So, but there's just some changes that definitely need to be made in here. And we just couldn't find any newer copies of this anywhere. Well, Mr. Pingleton, I believe you were interested in perhaps the 6 o'clock meeting time?
I was going to compromise and go with 6:30 to get moving in that direction. Yeah.
Let's start for all we want and then head.
6 o'clock would be great.
Okay. And as a staff, we don't have a problem with that. We thought 6:30 really wouldn't do a whole lot for anybody, that half hour it may. But as a staff, we didn't have any objections to the 6 o'clock starting time.
And the rationale for moving it to 6 from 7?
Well, until lately, we were going until very late, and we still do go pretty late, even with not a very big agenda. I mean, it's nothing to go past 9, for the most part. Generally, this might be the first time I've ever been late, but I had another meeting for work. So, but most of the time, most of us can get here by 6. And I don't know too many places in Taney County itself where you still can't get here by 6. Heck, I hunt pro tem and live in Branson. I can get there in an hour.
I believe,
and that's not
you probably come the furthest.
I don't have a problem with you getting here at 6 o'clock.
And I don't know if anybody else's job interferes with that.
My only concern would be the public, and when we are having public hearings, whether or not that's a convenient time for them.
Well, my comment there is that we're not a normal county, that we have people that work 24/7.
Well,
in
that's
Taney
also
county,
true.
And we're not an industrious county. Where we have 8 to 5 jobs, a lot of people.
We are one of the few boards that meets at night. Most of the rest of the boards, with exception of the Board of Adjustment, most of them meet during the day. So we do make the special effort to accommodate the public. But as Mr. Pingleton said, for most people, I believe it's, you know, pretty much off by 5, and you can be here by 6.
If you have a normal type job.
But I mean, whatever.
Would that mean, because I noticed also that in the bylaws is the the point about if we go past 9:30 that we have to vote to extend the meeting. But here's Mr. Bronner. Now we're really at a quorum. Super.
Why do you even want that in there?
Good point. I mean, does that need to be in there? Question number one. Question number two, if we start at 6, does that mean we now look at 8:30 as the... Okay.
Midnight, if it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and some of them
aren't.
I
remember.
So
if
they put that in there to call
halt to it. Can we just set an alarm at 9:30 and let everybody know what time it is?
Kind of like they do at school?
We always do extend it, yes. I've never seen them say, no, we're going home. I have seen them extend it several times.
Well, the reality is that the starting date, or the starting time and the ending time, are not necessarily connected. I mean, right. We could still go to 9:30.
The only purpose I see is if it does bring your attention back to it's getting late.
Yeah.
But other than that, you probably already know that. So I don't think by state statute it's required to be in there. If it's in there, it's something we have to stop and do. So
let me make sure that if the commission so wills it, we could do a vote tonight with a recommendation to change the starting time to 6 o'clock.
I would suggest we start that. And I don't know if you need a motion, but if you do, so to begin in April, just because we've already posted stuff for March, and I don't want to make it any more confusing than it needs to be.
Then why don't you make a motion and we'll see where it
goes. From there. I'll make a motion that beginning with our April meeting, we start all of our regular meetings at 6 p.m. instead of 7 p.m.
Is there a second to the motion?
A second.
Mr. Cummings? Okay. Further discussion, please.
Is the purpose just to finish early?
I wish. Because I'd start at 9:30. Crystal dark.
That's true.
Okay, and the goal is to not be here.
Past noon.
Well, you know.
Late.
As late. And we've had some really, really late ones.
Mm-hmm.
So.
When the economy picks up, it'll be here again.
Exactly. We hope to have some more late ones.
What is
that going to be? We're optimistic we're going to have some more late ones.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me call the question then. All those in favor of the motion to begin meetings subsequent to the 1st of April, or effective April 1st, to begin at 6 o'clock, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Is there anything else of a substantive issue in the bylaws?
We talked a little bit about changes in here. Do you want that number 3 talks about 9:30? Do you want that removed from there? And nothing. The changes that we've indicated as far as the third class county and those things like that, you want to see the changes made on that? That is correct. Yeah.
It'll have to be that, and also down where it says mandated by the county court, by the county commissioner, just to report.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, this document must be 20 years old or so. Yeah.
It's like it was written with a computer pen.
Yeah. And George Washington's signature is on it.
I would ask, do you want a line in there stating, or do we need a line in there stating that the chairman has the right to call the meeting and come away, or are we okay with that? Or
you mean to call to cancel?
Yes. Or do we need a statement? I don't know that we need a statement. I'm just asking you. Do you feel like we need that?
We rarely cancel, but I mean, it was prudent to do so last week. I don't even know who did it, but it was the right move.
I waited until the last possible
minute. School superintendent.
Just like a school superintendent. I drove the roads and decided it was not going to be safe. It wouldn't hurt to have it in there. There was some issue again, Eddie, that you indicated with the commission and with Mr. Paulson about the cancellation of the meeting.
I had met with them after you and I talked to make sure that we weren't stepping on anybody's toes and that we were following the correct procedure. Because our bylaws didn't state what happens to a meeting if it has to be canceled, who has the authority to call that? In our discussion, we came to the consensus that it should be the chair of the board to do that, although it wasn't mentioned in here. And I have just recently asked Mr. Pennell if he was okay with that. He wants that kind of decision to rest with this board. So
I don't see any reason why it couldn't be in there. I mean, just to clear it up for staff for here forward.
And then also there's a number five down here on the page. There's no page numbers, guys. I'm sorry about the third page in, fourth page in. It says that we're supposed to be having a study meeting on the fourth Thursday of every month.
Strike it.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that, you know, right, but evidently we're supposed to have one every month.
Doesn't mean we can't call a special one.
No, and there is provisions made in this for the calling of special meetings to be done by the chairman. So if we need a special meeting, the chairman does have the right to call that.
And also your change in number one, yes. It says all official meetings should be held the second Monday. That's all and it says. It doesn't say anything about the second meeting.
You actually have two meetings a month. And,
right.
And so what we need to do is just update these to reflect what's actually happening.
Do they have to be, Bob? Do they have to be specific to the day? I mean, like second Monday, or can they just say two meetings?
You don't have to have a date certain. I mean, you can set up a procedure whereby you choose the day and post it if you want. But I mean, basically, I think you want to have a regular day.
We do. No, I'm not suggesting we move the day here and there. I just didn't know if that would be best to do in the bylaws, if it was to change for some reason to a Tuesday.
That would be a better place than anywhere else, because the bylaws you can change at the meeting
which is the quorum.
Okay, so it would just be easy to change. Just leave it on second Monday and third Monday.
We'll make those changes, and we'll get you a document on the next meeting for you to review and make sure you're okay with it.
What are you going to do about the preamble, which sounds a little puffery?
If I write it, it won't be puffery.
Okay.
I'll just review a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe,
we'll give it to you first.
Something hard to read.
Okay. Mr. Coxey, you had people sign up.
Yes, ma'am.
What did they sign up to address? Or did they just sign up if they wanted to be
I believe Mr.
Heard?
Styron has given you a document dealing more with currently we don't allow for multiple ownerships and duplexes and things like that. It is something we are going to try and address a little bit in some other documents later on. But he would like to address you on that. Mr. Styron has two family regulations. Mr. Strahan's here and wants to talk to you about zoning districts, as is Chuck Pennell. I see Mr. I've gone blank here. Mr. Shantz is here. And Bob, if you would like to sign this real quick before I give it to her.
Well, I'm trying to figure if it's worthwhile to speak this week or...
On the one issue, you definitely need to be here at our next meeting on the development over your neighborhood. Everything. Anything else, though, if you have a concern with our code book or write, you know, some things like that, this
book.
Okay. I'm going to give this to her then, and I'll let you work.
Okay. Well, let's move on then to a discussion of code amendments. And the first topic that we have there is the issue of fractional ownership.
That was a request that was made by
us.
One of our commission members here, I do not remember who it was, but they wanted to discuss fractional ownership. Was it you, Mr. Preston?
It was, I'm sorry.
Okay. I knew I could pick it out in a little bit, but as you know, of course, in Taney County, about the time you get something nailed down a little bit, it morphs into something else. Fractional ownership comes in a whole lot of styles and shapes, and it doesn't necessarily mean not being rental, as you know. So I guess the best thing to do is to hear Mr. Preston's concerns if we can, and see if there's some way that we might want to go about addressing that, or research we might want to do on that.
I guess my concerns are the definition or understanding of what fractional ownership seems to change and evolve and morph, like you said, and is that a concern to us? A couple of meetings ago, it seemed to be a concern, and it's brought up on a semi-regular basis, and I'm not sure that we are fully understanding the ramifications of all of the cases where fractional ownership, a style of ownership, the ramifications of that title has on those cases.
Yeah, is fractional ownership purely to those owners for their own purposes, or can it be turned over to a pool to be doled out as nightly rentals?
Let me make a couple of statements to you real quick. First of all, we have a gentleman in the audience here that's probably very versed in fractional ownership.
I'd be happy to
talk to and if you don't mind, because that would be your choice. A lot of times when we talk fractional ownership, we confuse it with condominiums, which is a style of ownership. It doesn't have to be fractional ownership. Fractional ownership does not necessarily mean that this property is going to be rented out. It just means it's got multiple owners. But it comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and so many times when we hear that, we end up with something that we didn't think we were getting.
But is a timeshare a fractional ownership?
If you would not mind Mr. Siren speaking, that's her call, Mr. Siren.
Delighted.
Sure. Thank you. Fractional is a word that people use when they don't want to use the word timeshare very often, and there are various. The market and real estate promoters and sellers are ingenious in thinking of ways to do some to create a product that they can sell, and it puts a burden on everyone else to try to figure out what it is they're doing. From the planning and zoning point of view, I think the most important part of what you do is look at land use. And the land use aspects, and it's sometimes good not to be distracted with the various labels they put on things. Our Missouri statutes are not very helpful. Missouri statutes address timeshare in two places. In the Condominium Act, there's a mention of timeshare without much explanation. And then in the Merchandising Practices Consumer Regulation, there's a mention of timeshare that includes all sorts of things like undivided interest in campgrounds and things that aren't what we think of as timeshare but are included in some consumer protection statutes. Generally, I get a lot of calls from people that say they want to set up a fractional system, and I haven't seen one be very successful, but they come at me in two or three different ways. A lot of times they want to create an Adirondack style or big cedar type resort and sell 1 month interest. And there's nothing illegal about it. There's nothing illegal about fractional ownership. Sometimes they want to start an LLC, so an LLC owns the entire thing, but members of the LLC may own a 52nd or a 12th or a 13th or something, and then a 13-week interest, there are four of those in a year, and then they would have a right to stay in those. So from a planning and zoning point of view, you wouldn't even know about that. And one of the things with this morphing, which is a good word that Eddie brought up, things, the shape changing that goes on and what people do is far beyond the Planning and Zoning Commission, the County Commission, keep up with. People do what they want to do, and it's very hard to try to keep up with it. And it seems to me that the focus for you needs to be on land use. And all across the nation, nightly rentals in residential neighborhoods are causing problems. And it's in the courts everywhere, especially in resort counties. It's a huge issue in Hawaii. It's an issue in Ruidoso, New Mexico. It's California, Colorado, everywhere that there are resorts and where people are vacationing a lot. It creates and particularly with a downturn in the economy, people are struggling to pay their mortgages, and they're looking for ways to maintain their ownership of their vacation home so they can use it for themselves and their families. And it's very difficult to tell them what to do. It's for real estate brokers all around Table Rock Lake. They are desperate to try to figure out a way to move property. There are people who are losing their vacation homes. They're in foreclosure, so they use vacation rental by owner and similar things on the Internet to rent out. Nobody knows about it. It's a problem for homeowners associations. It's a problem for law enforcement, all sorts of issues. So from a land use perspective, it's the nightly and weekend rental issue that causes problems. It's not whether it's owned in fractions, because it doesn't have to be owned in fractions to do that. And I've developed a list of 11 terrible things about nightly rentals in your vacation home that I've got on my website, and I send it to people whenever they want me to tell me what a great deal they've got going, and it causes insurance problems. But the State Department of Health and Senior Services regulates lodging places, and many of these people come under that. And once they're reported, to the sales tax collection people, the health departments, once they find out that the community boat dock regulations that the Corps has are being violated if someone's on there without an owner's presence, then you can start to kind of cut them back and get the situation under control. But it's really not much in planning and zoning's hands. I think what the best way for you to approach nightly rentals, if nightly rentals are really the main issue, is to ask the county commission to adopt a zoning districts that some of which prohibit nightly rentals. And that I think is the most effective use of your time and the most effective way to deal with it. And then to start, there are some other ways to deal with the grandfathering issue. I was asked by the Stone County Commission to give them an opinion on grandfathering, and I had to say that in many cases there was nothing that the county commission could do through planning and zoning or otherwise, and because they weren't a first-class county, their ability to adopt health-related regulations was pretty limited. You're a first-class county, or we are here in Taney County, and our county commission has more police power to get into health issues than Stone County's does. And so it might have some room to do things that would not be protected by grandfather status. But as far as whether something is a fractional or a timeshare or a whole ownership condominium with a nightly rental program, I think this board should focus on land use issues and not try to get into police power issues.
Or
there are other ways.
Property management kind of issues, except there are some real considerations that need to be taken into account. For instance, you know, I'm thinking of the, and I don't remember what the total number of units in a condominium building that was, what, six stories high, I think, and had, what, six condos per floor? Help me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, almost any of the new condo buildings, but specifically the ones on Lakeshore Drive, that are having difficulty And we are allowing them to be built as condominium units, which means that that implies single family residence of each one of those units.
You're not allowing them to be built as condominiums?
No, we are.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. We are.
Yeah.
That's what
right.
the zoning that we give them.
Right.
And then they come to us and say, now we're going to do some kind of fractional division, whether or not it's, mm-hmm. you know, 50 weeks out of the yeah. year or nightly rental or whatever. It doesn't affect the land use other than the fact that it changes it to recreational or vacation traffic rather than single-family residential, even though they're
right.
in residence with X number of other people. But where the implication comes in is, I think, in the tax assessment.
Well, that is a factor, and whether it is, if it's going to be rented out by the night or for periods of less than a month, it obviously is a hotel. And it needs to be taxed that way, and it needs to have proper zoning for that.
So do we need to look at condominiums as commercial?
The condominium form of ownership has nothing to do with whether it's commercial or residential or what kind of building structure it is. What you look at is the use, not right. the form of ownership. And it is reasonable for a county commission to create zoning districts that exclude hotels. And exclude short-term rentals because those have nuisance aspects for neighbors. But it's up to the planning function of the planning commission to figure out where those zoning districts are. And Lakeshore Drive has had resorts since 1910 or earlier, and so it's had commercial short-term lodging all up and down Lakeshore Drive forever. So if you get in a situation where you say, we can't do that anymore, then you've got a bit of a problem from a defending it point of view.
Okay.
Another thing we need to watch on that, when they want to go from condominium style to, I call them nightly rental.
Mm-hmm.
If they've already sold one or two or any, in this convenient style. Mm-hmm. And then these people want to switch over to the other way. And what happens to these people that's already bought these?
Well,
that's bought these homes?
Right.
They're going to be disturbed at all hours of the night.
Absolutely. I agree. What I'm saying is the zoning classification needs to either permit or prohibit nightly rental. And they can come in and ask for a change and try to justify it, but you don't have to give it to them. But one of the issues on Lakeshore Drive, of course, is the history. It's been resorts forever.
Well, I think one of the problems also is, what do we do with condominium buildings then that change the form of ownership in the middle of the stream? And that's kind of
what
we're dealing with.
Well, that's a big problem, is that most of them don't even come to you.
Exactly.
It's just individual
so
owners
lease.
Start advertising on the internet, and they don't come to anybody. And you only know about a few of them. I mean, that actually, you may know more, but that actually come here with an application, and it creates tremendous dissension within the condominium owners associations and puts neighbor against neighbor. But some of that, if it's a zoning violation, then you have the right to enforce it. If it's not a zoning violation, then it's a matter of the private citizens going to court to try to enforce it. And some condominium association boards adopt rules to stop it. I was involved in a lawsuit in which the condominium declaration prohibited nightly rentals, but the developer in a contract to sell one of the units said, you can do it. So we went to Judge Orr, and I represented the association, and we lost. And I think Judge Orr was wrong, but we still lost. He seemed to think the developer could unilaterally amend the condominium declaration, even though 12 out of the 13 people had bought in reliance on there being no nightly rental.
Well,
So even if you go to court, you don't always.
Mr. Styron, if I can ask a question real quick. We've of course had several places come to us on Lakeshore Drive and other places where they used to be an old resort, they had nightly rentals or something, and come in and present their project to us, changing to condominium sole ownership, whole ownership, mm-hmm. And then later see those things turn into nightly rentals. If they present it to us as whole ownership, would we be wrong then to assume that it won't be a nightly rental?
Well, I think you need a zoning classification that prohibits nightly rental, regardless of the form of ownership they use. Joey, what was your question?
Now, you had mentioned Lakeshore Drive, and as we talked about that, there's a certain security and control that sort of came with the old resort.
Sure.
That had a folk living there, and uh-huh. making sure things stayed straight. It's sort of a different flavor.
Sure.
When we talk about not having that.
Right. The problem is you get into things that are more personal than maybe the government ought to be getting into. And then there's the planning function. And, Kanakuk and some of the other things developed as essentially, from a land use point of view, they look like big commercial resorts, if you just look at it from a land use point of view with traffic. But in the county's planning function, it didn't say we've got a major need here for road improvements. And so there was zoning and land use decisions, but there wasn't any planning. And mm-hmm. and that's where one of the reasons why it's got to be such a problem, to where maybe nobody's happy on Lakeshore Drive.
Well, you've got a situation where I am over at Emerald Point, where you've got 10 buildings and 3 of those are nightly rentals and the other 7 are not, mm-hmm. and don't have the same privileges, but they're surrounded by the same thing, and you have the nightly rental going on.
And in Emerald Point, you have a big development that was sold under with a HUD disclosure statement and all kinds of representations and a fairly poorly drafted master declaration, mm-hmm. and a lot of opportunism in the way that things developed there. And
how do you fix something like that?
Well, some of it I don't know that can be fixed.
Yeah.
And so the result is it affects the quality of life there. Yeah. And I don't know that there's adequate segregation of the uses there.
That's not playing the zoning function anyway.
Yeah. Some of it is, some of it isn't. But it's you can go in by in a place with your eyes open, fully aware of things, and it still changes a few years later. And
but
so
I think it's evident everywhere. I don't think Emerald Point's unique.
No. So, Mr. Coxie, and thank you, Mr. Styron, most helpful comments. Are you looking at a change in the code book in any way, shape, or form that would take into account condominiums versus vacation rental?
Condominiums is style ownership.
Okay.
They're different.
Rental, are there going to be zones to limit where you can do under a 30-day rental?
Yeah. Okay.
At this juncture,
no.
That's not where we're at.
Okay.
It's not. We do have verbiage in our existing code book that states, nightly rentals are to be considered a special use. They are to be approved. And, then you go back into your relative and absolute policies at this time. However, if you'll remember recently, Branson did, in their planning and zoning, choose an area, a single-family residential, and said no. They passed an ordinance that says no nightly rentals in single-family residential neighborhoods. So they've got different neighborhoods set up. Unfortunately, Branson doesn't have much of a single-family residential neighborhood to start with. But they could have easily gone into some other areas and said, this we also have these different districts. So I suppose once you have some districts set up, which is what the request is before you from the commission now, that you could go into those districts and say, this is not allowed here. And then, of course, then you have to deal with whatever might be pre-existing.
Well, and that's actually one of the questions I had before Harry sat down, but or whomever, as far as grandfathering someone in or however you would, other than, I mean, if I don't see, if they haven't been paying proper sales tax on it, just right. because they had a website on the internet and they weren't okay. recognizing themselves. It,
right. There, that's, Bob's exactly right. When you impose stricter regulations and you analyze grandfathering, you have legal nonconforming uses and illegal nonconforming uses of prior uses. And if somebody was not lawful in the way they were using that property and what they, and they want to continue something that's unlawful, then you can often stop them. But it's not necessarily the Planning and Zoning Commission that does it. But what I was saying earlier about Stone County is a first-class county has greater powers than a second- or third-class county to adopt health-related regulations. And Taney County could adopt some regulations. Okay. And health regulations don't, they can be, they can ignore grandfathering. So, because, for example, you can adopt, or a first-class county can adopt fire protection regulations. And grandfathering doesn't make any difference there if they make, adopt the ordinance that way. And they can force everybody to upgrade. And you can also do that with health-related things. And there may be health-related things having to do with nightly rentals that a first-class county can do that would not be barred by grandfathering.
Would non-conforming also include things like not letting the assessor's office know what you're doing or not paying proper taxes?
That could be if they weren't properly classified or they were evading, not making a proper declaration in their personal property tax, there might be some room there to shut them down.
Grandfathering is a huge issue, even just how you interpret that, mm-hmm. you know, what applies, when does it change, you know, how long does it stay in effect, which is probably a work session in itself.
Dennis Wood passed out my legal opinion at a public meeting, so I'd be happy to share it. I analyzed grandfathering in relation to nightly rental using the most recent Missouri court cases and some from other states. I'd be glad to get that to you.
I want to follow through on what an example of a health regulation in conjunction with
a nightly
rental, like is it population density? Is it number of flushes per day?
It might have to do with the type of restrooms they have mm-hmm. and food preparation facilities, mm-hmm. emergency lighting, and some things like that.
Handicap accessibility.
Until Taney County, if they may never adopt any building codes, you don't have a great deal of room to work with, but then the other thing is the rulemaking ability of the Western Taney County Fire Department. It has some also. And sometimes people will be, if it sleeps 9 people and it has 20,000 cubic feet, then it comes under the fire protection regulations. So there are, and it's rented out for short term. So there's a lot of stuff that takes an enormous amount of effort to keep up with. But there are things that can be done, not necessarily by you, but by the county commission and with the support of the prosecutor's office and with the fire protection districts and the health department.
Okay. Let's move on then. Any other comments about fractional ownership, which is how we started with this whole thing?
Yeah, it looks like to me one of the best ways to address that is with hopefully some of the planning we're getting ready to do.
Okay.
That might be.
Well, let's move on then. Mr. Strahan, you have signed up to speak about zoning districts.
Mm-hmm. First, I want to apologize to the board for coming here. I came here for a battle. I was very disturbed this morning. As Bob well knows, he tried to calm me down before I got here. I went before the county commission. I was told last fall, you know, I came before you, and we were talking of zoning Taney County and how difficult that would be. And you folks received a draft that evening. I didn't receive one for approximately a month later. Didn't matter, but I kind of wanted one as a reference. And so I think I caught Frank a time or two in the hall and snarled at him, friendly type snarl, and said, when's this all going to happen? Well, he said, well, we're not even going to look at this till February. So I got up on Monday morning, which was President's Day, and I thought, what is this? This seems to be February. And this thing may be ready to gin, as we call it in the country world. And so I looked at all the draft that Aegis had presented you and was assured this has nothing to do with it. Of course, there's 88 pages, but I believe it is something to do with it. Because on every page it says an ordinance for Taney County, Missouri, and at the bottom it says Taney County Zoning Ordinance. So I took it at its face value, as most people would, and of course I battle putting any more stringent regulations on individuals in Taney County. I've always battled that. And reading through it, of course, I came across the ridiculousness of a lot of different aspects of this ordinance. And hoping in my heart that Taney County citizens would not even consider such a thing, you know, dozing and seeding your own property out as agriculture, you've got to have it done in 48 hours after the dozer leaves. Floating restaurants, if they produce waste, human waste cannot exist in Taney County. And, I mean, these are just little highlights of craziness, or what I consider craziness. Maybe I'm a different individual than most citizens. I don't know, but I considered it. You guys trying to describe a dangerous animal. Now, this, I'm assuming, is what he just presented you. And it says a dangerous animal, and it gets to any other animal, oversized animal, so designated by the Taney County Planning Board. Well, I mean, that covers a cow, that covers a horse, that covers everything. When I know in my heart they intended a lion or a snake, or it goes through some of this stuff. But for you guys to adopt such a thing, I thought would be ridiculous aspect. And zoning the land, we got into what they call usable acres. And after I read it, I thought, maybe I'm watching a comedy on Saturday morning. And this is supposed to be serious stuff that this county was charged by Aegis Engineering to bring to you and present to you as a draft. I'm very concerned about that. As a citizen, as the assessor, it would change my aspect and role as the assessing officer of the county to try to go by the guidelines laid out here to you by Aegis.
Did you, Mr. Strahan, ever communicate with Mr. Coxey in terms of where we were in that process?
Yes.
Okay.
On different occasions. Still not understanding different aspects of this.
Okay.
Because I came to the next meeting. I think you folks will remember I was here at two meetings. Frank made the statement, I thought we was going over this tonight. And this was in reference to a document he had in hand that had 88 pages in it. So I was led to believe all along, not asking Mr. Coxey every day if they throw or made trash out of this or what have they done with it, but periodically, I assumed we were continuing on. And then you get into the agriculture end of this is just strictly ridiculous. And to believe that there's a county in the state of Missouri that bestows this upon their citizens makes me want to be sick to my stomach. No swimming pools in the front yard that you can see from the road.
Can we kind of have a review
Sure. For
your benefit and for our benefit where we are with that document? because the last I know of that document, in Mr. Coxey's very egalitarian kind of way, he gave us that document and said, okay, each and every one of you go through this document and make your changes or suggestions or ask questions or whatever. And then that didn't work, and I think I was the one that probably refused to do that because I didn't want to do that. And then there was a study committee that worked on pages who knows what.
One and two?
I think the interesting thing there is that you got through two or three pages max after about a 4 or 5 mm-hmm. hour meeting, yeah. And we're not making
two four hour
meetings, and we're not making any progress whatsoever. So maybe it would have made everybody feel better if it had said working document or document in progress or something like that rather than draft, because it is eons away from where it will end up.
If I could, I got this document in kind of condensed form and then that one. And like everybody else, I didn't want to read it, but I began to read it and found it quite amusing. This is mine that I marked all up, and I did come before the commission and said, this won't fly. Not for Dane County. This will not work. You know, it won't go with the book that we've got. It just won't work. The whole purpose is to create some definitions whereby each can go out and draw a map of what exists in Taney County at the present time. So we can't call all agricultural. We can't call all residential. All the residential is not alike. So the purpose is to try and define something within a code book that we've got, or in the event that they feel like it might need to be expanded in some way, to describe what exists out there right now so that we can hand it to Aegis Engineering and they can go out, say, to your house and open this up and say, this is a house that's on 30 acres. He raises cows. That's agricultural. And then they could say, that's green.
You know that is real concerning to me. What Eddie has said and what you folks have said. Very concerning to me that we're going to hand a document presenting to you to come up with ideas presented to you by Aegis Engineering. You're going to establish what you want and hand it back to the same company that handed you this cartoon to come up with something for the Taney County citizens to live with the rest of their life. There's terminology in here of land use. You can't split a good piece of property but one time because the production of this good agriculture land is more valuable. That kind of terminology. But this same company is going to write what you folks recommend in a similar form, or they would have never thrown this at you. My recommendation to the Aegis company, I always call it Regis because I can think of Regis Philbin and I can't think of their name. But why would you demonstrate yourself in any such manner to serious people that was trying to come up with results for an entire county to live with the rest of their lives?
Do you have any recommendations for how to create a county-wide land use plan?
It would be very difficult. We would be the most difficult county in the state of Missouri. Under no circumstances is there a county such as Taney. You can just close your eyes and imagine it. And if you can close your eyes and imagine any other place in the state of Missouri as diverse as we are in Taney County, I want to know that place. It's talked about at conventions. It's talked about everywhere I sit on the board of MAC Board of Directors on how unique Taney County is. That's why the difficulty of land use in Taney County would be such a... Branson takes up what Branson has. They have their zoning codes. They have what they feel like fulfills their needs. Now, we sit on the outside and disagree sometimes with what they do, but that's beside the point. But to say that we're going to take the rest of the county and try to, I hear you talk about fractional and all this type of stuff, and of course, we've got attorneys here that's done a tremendous amount of work on it. But when Missouri law allows you to sell airspace above your house to somebody else, this fractional ownership and all these type ownerships is going to be hard to corral and get under something that you can handle. And that's allowable in the state of Missouri to sell air rights. So, no, I don't have no suggestions. I don't know how. If I had, I would have drafted things years ago in agriculture's behalf. Would it not been into the residential construction's behalf? Would it not have been any commercial involved on their behalf? I would have drafted it for the protection of agriculture, the number one financial industry in the state of Missouri. I don't see us as Taney Countyans doing anything to harm that. I can see controlling commercial and some residential, what we would call rural growth that we don't all want or seemingly don't want. But I can't imagine allowing a company that would present you this in good faith now to you to turn your realistic back to them and say, now make it work. Present this to our county commission and say, this is how we're headed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, Mr. Pennell, you are the next person who signed up. Okay. So where do we go on that process, I think is the question.
Of course, we were...
Okay, Mr. Paulson.
I don't think anybody here is particularly impressed with the draft that we received. It might as well have had Roman numerals and other numerals and no categories. I mean, it was a place to start, and that's about it. I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can go as far as coming up with a code for the county. There are many people that can write a code. We have to get one that makes sense for Taney County. Probably start off more general rather than specific and add the specifics that we want. I know, for instance, that Stone County's just recently gone through all of this. And Mr. Strahan is correct in many ways. Taney County is very unique in the area, the diversity of our land use. However, if there's one place that's at all similar, it would be Stone County. You know, we might want to look at theirs. Maybe start off with something more general along the lines of theirs and work on it. We could hire somebody to come up with one, but we need to let them know what it is that we want to see in that document. And, of course, the county commission ultimately has to enact this upon our recommendation, so it would be a good idea to have them at least involved in the process so that we don't recommend something that they can't approve. Otherwise, we've wasted our time.
Thank you. I remember when we had this discussion probably 3 months ago, has it been?
Probably that long today.
That my recommendation to you is that you find some other land use plans from other counties. And I specifically mentioned Camden County.
You did.
Okay, and...
I have in my office now 7 different code books, some okay. As far as Oklahoma. I do have a copy of Stone County's and have tried to go through the majority of that in with what we're going to give you tonight. I also have found a very good code book by Clay County.
I think that's who it is.
Clay County, which is a first-class county in Missouri under the same basic statutes that we have. Very well written. But it's not, none of those can you just adopt and say,
sure,
that would work in Taney County. Everything would have to be. But they are good guidelines.
Are they better starting places than the Aegis proposal?
I like them.
Okay.
Very much, yes, ma'am. So I have kind of combined some of what we've done for you tonight is the combination of some of this stuff. And it does address some of the issues, even some of the ones that Mr. Styron is going to bring it to you here in just a little bit. You know, some ways that that you might be able to see those things happen in Taney County. So, yes, we have looked at a lot of different code books and tried to...
Okay. Well, just knowing that the process is ongoing... is there a timeline? Is there
our task before us from the commission was to establish some definitions of districts to allow a map to be drawn of existing uses in Taney County. So those of you that have been involved with this, Mr. Preston, Mr. Pennell, Mr. Bronner, Mr. Hanselin, know how difficult that is to do even in Taney County. But what we've got for you tonight is some information just as a start, some very basic definitions. You may choose to use all those. You may get rid of some of those. Once you settle on them, we begin to flesh out. Does that mean we may have to set down some more definitions, lot sizes, things like that? It's possible. So does it affect what goes on in Taney County? We would like it to be as seamless as possible and not people not to, to know. And the process could be easily way more than a year, way more than a year, I could say, because of all the meetings that would be involved in the viewing of even just the map that's drawn, because you need to go to each township, and each township needs to have the people come out and say, this is my property. You've got me down as agricultural, but really I'm not agricultural. I'm rural residential. And, you know, so it's a long drawn out process, and like I said, we're not trying to change anybody.
So what is the next step in the process, do you
think?
Well,
once we settle on how many districts, or are these all we need? Do we need more? Do we need less? And then we flesh those out a little bit.
I thought I saw a document in here.
I didn't know if you were ready for that yet.
Okay.
And everything, but you know, it's just again.
So we don't need to discuss this tonight, but...
It's something you need to read over.
Okay.
And keeping in mind Taney County and say, will this define what's in Taney County? Do we need all this? If not, you know, then do we need to... and then it's going to go from there. Do we need these? Some of these are in there. You'll see what they would call an overlay district. There's been a lot of requests from engineers, developers, and everything for a thing called a planned urban development or planned unit development, PUD, that would allow some flexibility with taking a large tract of land and developing it with multiple uses in it. I'm sorry, spouse.
Eddie, is the purpose of this just to identify?
The purpose of this is to identify some districts to allow the drawing of a map of current uses in Taney County. At the same time, when you do something like this, you would want to probably try and think about the future. You know, how this is... how things butt up against each other,
yeah.
Those kind of things like that. We're constantly in this forum here discussing buffering, compatibility with surrounding areas, those kind of things like that. And in hopes that, you know, this may help to do that in the future. Would that come about in our lifetime to where everything's set up? Probably not. But you know, take some steps to address some of the issues. Right now, if you own a condominium, a style of ownership, and anybody in your development uses their unit as a nightly rental, financially, nobody will finance it because they call it a condo tax. Duplex owners are finding a tremendous struggle trying to do anything with their unit or get it financed. Simply because in Taney County, because we have no building codes, we require that it either be held as condominium style of ownership or one person on both sides.
Would that be the same issue you might have with fractional about financing? You're calling it, I mean, it's the same, isn't it?
Again, you can have a fractional ownership that's not really a nightly rental program.
Right. With fractionals, you're generally in a different kind of thing, whereas the seller is carrying or hypothecating the notes and not dealing with it.
So only the seller is dealing with all the financials of it, not the banks themselves.
Right.
So you have an investor.
You have a big company, usually from an investment bank, that's in the business of financing, I'm sure.
Okay.
Mr. Coxey, if I could interject. Mr. Strahan, I have a question. In our current GIS, geographic information systems, do we have a layer of current use for land use?
Yes, I think we do.
I've not.
The thing I would like to say to that is I just cast my eyes up there. Please let her something other than R2, R3, R4, older school districts in Taney County.
Oh.
And that was the request, right? That was the word that we used. And I don't care.
I didn't notice that until you said that. Now it makes sense.
He's going to be mad at you about that.
So I mean, that's that. And I don't care. I don't care what they're called or anything, because we'll settle on it. It's just in our meetings, they said let's start with the letter A for agricultural and however many districts, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and residential start with R. Go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So.
To address your question, I mean, when Aegis Engineering began what they were doing, we were contracting with them. I said, we can just go down and get the map of current uses, because I had obtained it before from the assessor's office or GIS.
Right.
And it was my understanding that Aegis actually did more. There's some changes that have been done. Just because it's assessed a certain way doesn't mean that's the way it's zoned. A lot of people had zoning changes they've never acted upon those zoning changes, but they are zoned a certain way, and it's not reflected in the use. But generally, the use map will give us at least how those areas ought to be zoned, but there's some other details, how it's currently zoned, that needed to be worked in. I believe that work has been done.
I don't know. I've had a few discussions with Mr. Strahan concerning, like, the zones in agricultural and things like that. And I believe you basically assessed just in three areas. But does that map show different?
The problem we had with Aegis's map is we had a structure on T Highway that was a Kimball machine repair shop. 40-acre track, so we've seen this massive agriculture area, and then this red 40 right there being zoned commercial, which if you were on the internet looking at it, it would look like you folks had zoned this commercial when all they had was one commercial use on it, which I think they come through you guys and got that. You know, I don't know whether it exists today.
Well, I don't know that that's a problem, just because there's a little commercial area out of a rural area, maybe a little inconsistent, but that's what it is. It is what it is.
But his statement would be the whole 40 acres is not commercial.
Right, it showed the whole 40 acres.
It shouldn't show the whole 40
acres. Right now in a rural area, it should show at least 2 acres of that, because we require 2 acres for any kind of a business or for a residential structure, if it's freestanding. So we probably need to show 2 acres of that, even though 2 acres of it won't be commercial, But that's the lot designations we have.
And that's the only land use I know we have, is what he just tried to come up with and draw it out of our database down at the IS department.
So there wasn't a pre-existing document that showed what current land use was?
No, just on
okay.
So
and wouldn't that be a good baseline to start this whole process on?
You want your zones, you want the map of what things are, and you obviously want to apply your zones to the map. I mean, you're not necessarily going to keep it exactly what its use is now, or what it's zoned as now. For instance, I mean, if there's 2 areas that are commercial with a little area in between that hasn't been developed, you might just make the whole thing commercial. But basically, if you have the existing uses, at least you have a start.
Right.
You can apply these to the to the uses that you have.
And that would show the complexity of what Mr. Strahan's talking about, just to look at a current use map that will show the difficulties of what we're trying to...
And basically, that map will show you three different areas, if I'm understanding it correctly.
Okay.
It'll show you agricultural, it'll show you residential, it'll show you commercial. Would that be correct?
Yes, and it looks like a Dalmatian pup, and you do yeah.
So,
all these areas, it's amazing to look at.
Right.
And I mean,
it's a good tool.
Look at it as a professional and see any consistency because of the old towns. Right. And
but a document like that would be very helpful, though.
Which is why it's so important.
By looking at it and seeing what needs to go somewhere or why it shouldn't go somewhere.
There is no planning.
And be flexible with that, but at least have a defined... I mean, it's a good tool. I mean, if you have that...
We can make it look a lot less like a Dalmatian.
More like a golden retriever.
So anyway, you can't just dump everything and say... As we do now, this is all commercial. I mean, or you, maybe you can. You say, we're just not going to have any other designation. But that's what we tried to do here with this. We tried to say, there's a difference between a retail shop and a person that...
Where do we reach the saturation level?
Yeah. So, and that was just going to give you a better picture. My understanding, because they've examined all these properties, and it's going to allow them to add in the colors where they need to add them for the different things.
Where would something like Big Cedar fall into one of these zoning districts? I mean, you don't have a recreational, or you don't have a tourism.
Big Cedar would be a great example of a PUD.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, we didn't have that at the time.
Okay.
Because when you get out of that area, they have nightly rentals, they have
a little bit of everything.
They have hotels, they have commercial activities, they have,
chart.
It has everything that would make a PUD.
Okay, Mr. Clemenson.
As you probably know, wherever you put roads, you create zoning opportunities, I call it. Anybody remember 80 acres on Highway 65 that was an old farm? Mm-hmm. It's now got an interchange with Lowe's and everything else in that thing. A few years ago, it was just nothing but 80 acres. You put this east-west road through, as they're talking about, within the next 2 or 3 years, then you got land use opportunities along that roadway, depending on where you can get off and where you can't. So this is... I don't know of another opportunity in the county where we're going to put in a new road in that will affect as many property owners as this will, or land uses as this one will. Mm-hmm. So, it's pretty timely to try to stay ahead of it, and this might be one way we can stay ahead of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
As a member of the committee, the first part, this is a logjam project. Everything is coming down the tube, and it's only at one point in time that the burst occurs and the clarity comes about. But the first part of this is a historical document. Using terms that are compatible to landowners, to the law, and to the county government. And yet at the same time, whatever we put down there is going to have some etching in stone. So you sit and you try and decide what is a rural residential, and you've got to deal with what you know to be in the county and what you might anticipate will be 20 years down the line. Otherwise, you're just going to be cobbling a system again. And things are happening so fast that this also complicates the situation.
If you're saying we need to plan, and that we need some sort of planning document, but
that's not where we are now. We just have to deal with what we've got. And I guess I see the historical, getting the historical document definitions down will give us a really good idea of what to do, where to go.
The existing uses map is really our starting point. What do we have? What are we working with? And then from there, I mean, absent doing a planning document, I guess we do our own informal planning as to, well, look, these two or three commercial areas along this major road, why don't we just make the whole strip right there commercial? Then it doesn't look like a Dalmatian, and that area is commercial. But you have your meetings in the townships, which you're required to have under the statute, concerning the how you're going to zone these areas. But what is etched in stone is your current uses. You zoned the current uses.
That's right. And the grandfathering problem, and this is going to be unusual. But at some point in time, we do need a language, or like a land use language that the assessor's office can understand, the homeowner and the landowner can understand. And that's what I think this mapping process is trying to get established. It doesn't mean that we can't change things or upgrade or whatever, but we all need to talk the same language at some point in time. And I think this is why was the French is the language of diplomacy, because it's been tried and tested and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's what we're trying to create, is that land lease language.
So, Mr. Coxey, for the next time that we meet under old business, what land use issues or information will you have for us?
Again, as I understand the task before us, it is to describe the differences between our existing land uses that are there. And so the document that I have given you, I think, will do that.
And you're referring to this document?
Yes,
ma'am. Moe's
yes, ma'am, I am.
Zoning districts,
and,
okay?
And now, is it too extensive? Possibly so. Is it not extensive enough? At one time, I combined the commercial and the office and some other things like that together. Maybe some of that's still combined. And then in discussion with some of the other people that were on our committees, you know, we looked at it and said, you know, there's some things that probably should be here, because there is a difference between commercial and industrial in the way they function and the amount of people that are there and what's allowed and what's permitted and what's conditional, those kind of things like that. So what my main focus is, much of what Mr. Hanselman said, trying to create a document where we're speaking the same language, where we can have a current use map printed and said, here's where we are. Then if you choose to go and say, let's extend this and make all of this commercial or whatever, that's a different critter. But right now, we need to settle on a language that will describe what exists in the county so that we can have a document. Now, I will agree with you. You can go to the GIS and you can get a document. It's not going to show you the subtle differences. It's not going to say, this is a doctor's office and this is a car dealership. Right. It's going to say, these are both commercial, they're both red or green or whatever the color might be.
But, you know, like we were talking, if they put the east-west corridor road in over here, Kirbyville, making everything along the side of the commercials possible.
That's step number two.
We can't even talk that, guys, because we don't even know what four or five.
But
we're a long way from
all
there.
It may not even happen. At that time, you can do some zone changes.
And it doesn't make any difference if it's that road or if it's the road that goes in front of my house. Maybe I don't want my land to be commercial. This guy here next to me may have. I've got 40 acres here. I may not want mine zoned commercial.
Sure.
So now what's going to happen there?
Well, you're going to have the township meetings. Some people are going to offer their opinions on what they want. You're going to go at least preferably with what makes sense from a planning standpoint, but you're probably going to compromise, just practically speaking, on some of these. Well, you want yours to be agricultural? We can just keep you agricultural, unless it just absolutely clashes and makes no sense whatsoever. But someone is not going to be affected. Your assessment, there's a statute that says assessment alone does not, zoning alone does not dictate your assessment. Okay, so you could make an agricultural field commercial, and it's still an agricultural field, and will be taxed at 12%.
Until its use changes, right?
Or even the use around it. I mean, when it becomes
we have a right to farm law in Missouri. Right. We have some agricultural protection. Mm-hmm. What was interesting a couple of years ago is when Green County tried to update its code, and the Green County planners decided to create heritage agricultural districts that would never be developed, and the farmers went ballistic because they wanted the right to sell their land to developers. Mm-hmm. And so we always run into those, and some of them do and some of them don't.
I sat in a few of Stone County's public meetings they had in their different townships. And people would come in and say, you have me down as industrial, but I'm really agricultural. And they took that input and made some changes. Some people came in and said, I want my land to be commercial because when I sell it, I want to get more money for it, thinking that's what the case would be. But again, guys, we're jumping ahead. All we're trying to do right now is get a common language for what exists in the county right now. Okay? All that other stuff we'll walk into as we get there. Okay? We'll have the town meetings. People may come in and say, my land needs to be commercial. Okay? They may be sitting in the middle of, I don't know, you know, 1,000 acres surrounded by everything and no road out there. Does that make sense? No. And if it needs to be commercial later time, can they get it changed? That's yes. What the board's for. Okay? We've got to have a common language to describe what's out there now.
The nice thing is if someone buys a piece of property and something that's zoned for the proposed use, they don't have to go get a Division III permit. They can just do it.
They have permitted use by right of ownership.
Appearing before you.
And their neighbors. And so. if someone buys in a residential area, they can have some confidence it'll stay that way.
So, but I mean, there's a lot of places to head, but you got to know what you've got first,
right.
And that's all we're trying to accomplish.
So, is it possible, for instance, that we could have those maps?
If you would like me to get a copy of the GIS overlay, yes, ma'am, I can pull those up and bring them to you.
What about Aegis's map? They should be available.
I believe Mr. Stroffs has a copy of that. I have not seen it.
We should be able to get a copy of
that. Sure. And that, they would be glad to give it to me. All I have to do is ask for it. So I can get you maps for the March meeting if you'd like to see. Again, you know, Aegis' map may be a little more involved. I don't know.
There was two or three sets of Aegis maps. The first one they laid down in front of me, I said, this is entirely wrong. They zoned my dad's farm because it had a house there that's being all residential, which that's fine with me. I didn't care how they zoned it, but I just said, if you're trying to express what's there,
yeah.
Now, the big problem up here is I don't see the word exemption.
Not say it can't be there.
Exemption?
For what?
Exemption. We've got C of O's. We've got all these massive pieces of land. We've got now.
That's assessment, though. The actual use, C of O would be agricultural in places. It would be, you know, if there's a school district, you know, if they have a business like the Keter Center, that would probably be commercial. Those are the zonings. The assessment exemption that means nothing as far as zoning goes. That's for assessment purposes.
I hate to say that you're wrong, Mr. Attorney, because the county commission exempted Church Army from any planning and zoning regulations 7 years ago. They purchased multi-family housing and single-family housing zones, and they did not have to abide by any of your rules laid out.
They've been treated.
And they purchased 7 or 8 of these, not just one, under an exemption.
They've been treated as residential, and
in statute for your homes.
And it would be residential. Matter of fact, there's a specific statute in Missouri for the mentally retarded, which is different than Church Army, where up to a certain number of...
I don't know.
Okay.
to a certain number of people living in a home for the mentally retarded are to be treated by statute as one family. So it would be a single family home. Now, would you include that in your description of single family residential? Yes, single family residential would include group homes.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to tell someone in California that wants to buy in Taney County, this entire neighborhood is single family dwelling, but by the way, we've got two group homes on each side of you?
I think they're probably used to that in California as well.
Well, with everything, there's always a list of permitted and conditional uses, and just about everywhere you go, that's available. So anybody that's doing diligence, doing their due diligence in this kind of deal would say, what are the permitted uses in a residential area?
You have them listed in your code.
Right, and we have that even now. You know, it's not as extensive, but on the back of your packets that were given to you, your homework is to mark what you consider to be the condition. You know,
I think we understand.
Being permitted and C is conditional.
I think we understand our assignment, and we will take it under due diligence, okay?
And I believe, and I understand what Mr. Strahan said about the residential, but first of all, I have extreme confidence in our citizens of Taney County that they're a little sharper than the citizens in Dade County, Florida. Hanging Chad joke there. But I think they can understand R1 through R4 as far as what it's for, because that's commonly used for residential in district zonings, and I really believe we need to keep that the same. I understand the point. We need to make sure during public meetings that we're clear on what we're talking about. That's a good point. But I don't think we should change them from R to whatever. I'm pretty sure they're sharp enough to figure that out.
I think those are standard zoning terms.
They are standard zoning.
They are, where I've been. And matter of fact,
we're unique enough already. There's no reason to make it any harder than it has to be.
Okay. I'm taking the privilege of moving the meeting on, and I think you implied that Mr. Styron had some other issue to deal with.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Then let's move on to that.
Specific, okay. And I would like for you to consider taking action before we do all of this. And here's the situation: is in some cases there are patio homes. That's the common name for them in Taney County, and it would be convenient to sell one half. Be nice to be able to buy both halves and live in one and sell one half, and that's a common thing. Right now, we can't do that in the county unless you create a condominium. And creating a condominium for two units that doesn't have any common elements is not legally possible. And in some cases, we used to do it. We have Woodland Estates on Fall Creek Road has several of these. The original developer in Country Club Heights, Mr. Brotherton, did several lot splits after he built a two-unit residential. The last one I know to happen was Cornerstone Estates on the Oremus property. And those are non-condominium duplexes where you can buy one side. The lot line runs down the party wall. In the materials I've handed out, I don't intend to read them to you, but I discuss some of the definitions that are used in zoning codes, etc. And on the last page, I show some of the common restrictions that are, I give you a sample of City of Ozark, City of Branson, Stone County, Branson West, Nixon, City of Springfield for how they deal with these kinds of things and their minimum lot area per unit and the minimum lot frontage and the side setbacks. And I don't know exactly why I wasn't involved in any applications at the time. I don't know if it was the Planning Commission staff or the Planning Commission itself that decided they weren't going to permit people to file a replat after they built a two-unit building with a party wall and put a lot line down the center of that party wall from the front to the back. It used to be permitted, and then it wasn't anymore. And I don't think that there would be any harm in it, and I'm not sure why it stopped. And as Eddie was saying earlier, and maybe someone else mentioned, right right now in the mortgage industry, it's difficult to get fixed rate financing with FHA or Fannie Mae mortgage insurance for condominium units. But if it's a duplex, it's a cent. They have programs for duplexes where you buy half a duplex, and it's a perfectly ordinary thing. The mortgage industry doesn't really treat them differently than single-family detached houses. And I don't really know the reason why Taney County is not approving plats as minor subdivisions that take a duplex and divide it in half.
So you're really talking zero lot line.
Well, I discuss in here how that term's used. It's used in two different ways. The city of Springfield refers to zero lot lines as a subdivision where every house, single-family house, sits on a lot line on one side and has a wider space between the next one. That's how I learned zero lot line when I lived in Tulsa. That became a fad in the about 1980. But in City of Nix's zoning code, they refer to a duplex with a lot line through the middle as a zero lot line home. And so Greene County and Nixa have, or Springfield and Nixa have two totally different definitions of
and
zero lot line.
And you're raising this issue not for a specific proposal that's coming through.
Well, there has been one that already came through. That was for the Branson Vista condominium, where there were two-unit buildings built on Highway 1, right where Iowa Colony Road runs into 165. Bob Lake started that. He was planning to build a bunch of units. I helped him out, set up a condominium for it, and then he had his motorcycle accident and had to get out of that, and then it went back to the bank, and then Ken Barth bought it. Sold the units, found Mr. Lake had built one of them too close to the road, so a setback variance was obtained. And then some of the purchasers there were trying to refinance, and they have no common elements except they have a shared driveway, and they don't really need a condominium association. And they could get much more favorable financing if they could simply file a minor subdivision plat for each of those two buildings, divide them in half down the party wall.
So what you're really asking for is a code.
He's looking for
a modification
to allow. Right now, if you want to build a duplex in Taney County and you're on septic, you must have 3 acres and it must be retained by one owner, or you have to come to us and ask for a condominium style of ownership development. And as did Mr. Lake, and he had the right to build, I think, 8 total buildings out there for 16 units, which is, as far as I know, if they still wanted to build some more out there, they could.
And what he's saying is basically, it doesn't make any sense. You can have the same building.
Right.
You just have to call it a condo.
The difference is that in the places that we've quoted, Nixa, Springfield, places like that, most of these places have some kind of a building code so that when you buy half of a duplex, that duplex is actually, with the exception of the center wall, it's a freestanding unit. Whatever goes on this side of the duplex doesn't affect the other side of the duplex, which is why we've been hesitant to do that, because we don't have any building codes and we can't regulate and say that you've got to.
When it's a condo, what do we have?
Well, we don't, but everything is held in common then, and then the Condo Owners Association usually takes care of. If your side of the roof begins to leak, the whole roof gets replaced. Instead of you coming to me as a neighbor saying, your roof's leaking, it's leaking into my house, I say, my house has not got a problem.
Well,
you deal with it.
Well, in a duplex situation, you have a party wall agreement and you have something to deal with that anyway. You just don't have a condo association.
Right.
You have the two owners.
And I understand that and everything, but we...
You need a proper party wall.
The Nixa... I think the 2000 International Residential Code says 1 hour firewall. Nixa requires a 2 hour firewall, two sheets of Type X 5/8.
And we couldn't even require a
convention. Right. But the other thing is mortgage underwriters are interested in that too, and they have guidelines.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we've been hesitant, because we don't have any way to regulate that. Although I think under a PUD,
Here's what I don't understand. You could build the same building and rent out both sides, and you'd have the same fire risk.
Sure. And it's not so much fire risk.
The real crux of that case is the fact that he called it refinancing. The folks got financing when they bought it.
Right.
They just wanted to refinance them because the rates went down. Well, the economy went down, all get out too, and so the financing requirements now are very stringent. That doesn't mean that they're going to be stringent forever.
Right. That's
Sterling Estates is just directly across the street, and they're patio homes.
No, they're condominium. I did it, but we redid the boundaries to where we've got you. The unit owner also owns this lawn, and the lot line is down the party wall or the unit boundary. So it's the same thing under condominium ownership, and what Sterling Estates has the same financing problem is the secondary market dried up for buying condominium loans. And so I don't know why this board would stand in the way of something that would allow people to get better financing. But it's also a nice opportunity for somebody if they want to build some duplexes that they can sell them and have that option and sell them one side at a time. And I don't know why they should have to create a condominium to do that. I don't know what purpose it serves for the county to stand in the way of somebody doing something that you can do in practically any town and county in the United States.
But the PMZ approved the condominium project for 16 units.
Right.
I mean, there's not much the Board of Adjustments could say, oh, let's change this game right now and we'll change it for these four people that own these two units. Because we got 16 more units potentially. The developer may or may not be out of it yet.
I think that the developer can be dealt with, but I don't think that the developer was fully supportive. The developer's current intentions, and those things, of course, change, doesn't want to continue with the project.
Well, you just lost a court case because the developer decided to do something different.
Back to the duplexes, I do think Mr. Styron has a valid point. It is something that I've been trying to find a way to mesh into this county because even in Taney County, there are duplexes where you can buy half of it. Some of them were built in Taney County, like you said, now they've been annexed to other places. We've got to balance the fact that we want to protect the people who are buying it also. We cannot do that with building codes. We've also noticed that just because you have a homeowner association or some kind of agreement, it's not always effective either. You are well aware of that. We can't protect everybody from everything. I understand that. But we need to find a way to address the situation to where whatever concerns we have as a group can be addressed by the person who wants to build those. And if they can alleviate those concerns for us, that we allow them to go ahead and do that.
But Eddie, the point is, if you call it a dock, and it's not a dock, it's still not a dock. Or I mean, you're just saying a condo as opposed to whole ownership, fee simple ownership. What changes in the situation? What changes in the safety? Absolutely nothing. It's the same
exactly
situation.
Right. The only difference is there is a larger entity looking out for each individual in that situation.
Their
condominium association.
Well, in this...
just two people that own the two sides and then have a party wall agreement.
As far as I know, Bob, we have never approved a one duplex condominium. It's always been multiple units, 8, 9 units, something like that. I can't think of anywhere. If you want to build a single duplex, you can. You have to have 3 acres if you're on septic. Otherwise... We don't even have lot sizes or anything for duplexes, frontage requirements, anything like that. We just don't have any of that.
So we've never approved a two-unit condo, but we've approved 300-unit condos.
I'm saying we've never approved one duplex to be, one single duplex to be a condominium unit that I'm aware of. It's always been multiple so that there is a condominium association that's being paid into and that they're holding the land and usually the outside repairs in common.
And if that's the case, then I think we need to study what Mr. Styron has
and
brought forward.
And I agree
forward.
With you, yes. That is, and I, matter of fact, I've talked to Mr. Hanselman about that already, and I believe a couple other people I've talked to and trying to find a way to get that done.
In the case of that Branson Vista, there are four units, four members of the association in two buildings. That's the entire association, and they all wanted this.
At this time.
Well, and the other thing is there are development rights to build additional units on the additional property, and I, as a part of that condominium, and I believe the declarant of that would file a recordable relinquishment of those rights so that we wouldn't have to worry about the future.
And that was one of the questions that we did bring up at the DOI.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me move on then, because, again, that sounds like topic number two under old business.
I'll be getting in touch with you.
Thank you all.
For March.
Fine, I'm going to go.
Okay. is there anything else, Mr. Coxey, that we need to deal with?
I have some questions I need to ask you real quick, if I can.
Okay.
Under old and new business. We are going to need a code book change, and going back to our first thing, to change our plat requirements so that there's a sign-off block required on our plats for road and bridge to approve roads and that kind of thing like that. So, and I'll draw up that recommendation to you and have it for you in March.
Okay.
But we will need to sign off. Frank Preston now has their own set of road standards and everything. They will be approving all roads on plats that we have come before us. I need to see if you want to hear a couple of projects real quick. The one being the Father's Heart Church on Buchanan Road. It's down past, you pass the, it's not a church. They're wanting to use it for office buildings now. It has been a church. I think at one time it was a daycare. It was in the church. But when you pass the transfer station and you pass the Branson Sports Complex there, it's up there on the rock. They just wanted to move in and start.
Do we have a representative from that?
No, ma'am, we don't. I told them I would ask you if you wanted to hear that. The deal being, you know, if they meet requirements for office building and stuff like that, do you want to hear the project? If you do, we'll have it come through as a Division III. It is an existing building, you know, with parking and everything like that.
There is residential around it. It's at the front of a really small.
Okay. And I
single family and duplex residential area.
Bank owns this right now, and the bank is, I guess, trying to sell it. Is that what the deal is?
I'm not sure if they're going to sell it. They want to turn it into office building. I mean, into offices, but maybe their own offices.
So I just, do you want to hear it, it sounds like?
Sure.
Okay. We'll tell them you want to see it. Mr. Depp was in. If you remember Mr. Depp, he has the garage. He created a minor subdivision. He has his automotive repair shop out there. He came before you with a lot in that subdivision, asked you to rezone it so that he could move his business over there in the future. So he started using
this is the one off of South 65.
This is off of, it's out near
Bee Creek? No.
It's off of Beaumont. Beaumont Lane. No, you're not drawing it. Okay. Anyway, he's wanting to put a dog kennel out there on this that we've already told him where he could have his business. He wants to put 30 dogs out there, some boarding and some training, and he owns all the land around and everything like that. And I told him, he said, would you ask them to see if they want to hear it? They'll just let me do it since
what did we what was he approved for before?
Automotive repair. He's got the one shop out there, and then the lot right across from him where he made the subdivision. He's doing. He got the approval to in the future build his business, build his new building
we
there. But he's already parking cars and stuff over there. And now he wants to put a dog kennel up there.
Is there residential?
There's a noise factor.
There is. He owns everything around him right now. As a minor sub. And this is out in the area when, you know, the people out there on the horses and things like that. There is some residential, but not.
It's going to be noisy if they get 30.
I don't think you've seen this fella.
There's a house within a half a mile.
50.
To start with. I'll just tell them you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. That would be the better thing, since you're drawing kind of a blank on who he is and everything. So, other than that,
he's not the guy with the tank.
Have we not okayed what we would call utility lots? The natural gas pipeline that's coming through this area is requesting to create a substandard lot, I believe 50 by 100, which would be a, I don't even know what to call it, maybe like a, it's a substation for their pipeline off of Shepherd of the Hills Expressway. It is in the county, and they want to split a piece off this large tract of land, 50 by 100, it would be a utility lot. Do you need to hear something like that? I know in the past we've done it for, you know, water districts and things like that where we allow substandard lots, but normally they've been associated with
utility,
a subdivision or something like that. Mm-hmm. This will be a utility as it is natural gas pipeline.
Yeah.
And your yell was for...
Yeah.
Yes, you want to hear it.
No, no, I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it.
No.
Okay.
I agree with that.
I think it's a...
They will bring us a, they will bring us a plat. It'll be
okay.
Designated as a utility lot. I told them I need some verbiage to the fact that if it ever became something different, that it would revert back to the parent, and that it couldn't be sold to be used for any other purpose than that utility lot.
We're not.
But I just need to know if you need to hear it.
So, yeah, no.
The answer is no. Staff can handle it.
Okay.
That is what I have.
Anything more?
No. I would like to make sure that I understand what I'm supposed to do before March.
Okay.
Me too. I mean, you gave us this, so I just want to make, I see some things. Are we supposed to fill these things out in the back?
Do we color code them?
I'm talking my homework, not yours.
I know, but I want to know about ours too.
Well, I would appreciate
it. Are there instructions
guys,
on here?
If you would. No, sir, they're not.
Okay.
Where's your PUD, the PUD in this?
PUD is an overlay district. It'll be on the right
okay.
back.
I got you.
Put you some verbiage in there.
I'm good. Just didn't know where it was here.
I'll make a couple statements here, and hopefully it won't get us in trouble or anything. If you would go through that list and say, hospital allowed, this district, permitted by ownership. If you own property here, it's allowed. Or it's allowed, but it's going to be conditional. We don't want to hear this. Or, you know, something like that. Because there's things that you might allow. But you want to hear before you let it go. Believe me, you'll make sense when you get into it.
What is the P and the C on this?
Permitted, list? Conditional.
Permitted and conditional.
Conditional.
In other words, that's where they come see us.
Conditional means there's other things that have to be met, and it may be.
But they may have to come see us.
For instance, on your PUD, if somebody comes to you and says, I would like to do a PUD, we say, why do you need a PUD? Well, because I can't build duplexes and sell half. Well, that's probably not good enough reason. Okay, there's ways that we can do that under our code book right now. I want a PUD because I'd like to build a big area, and I'm going to have several elements in it and everything like that. And part of it's going to be duplexes, and I want to sell half the duplexes and everything. Here's how I'm going to alleviate your concerns. You know, you're concerned about how this building's going to be taken care of. Well, I'm going to build this wall. You know, that's going to separate them. Maybe that'll alleviate your concerns. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But there's a pretty good write-up in a PUD there. But in a PUD, you basically can say, here's what they want to do in that. They come in with their preliminary plat. They say, here's what they want to do. Here's what we're going to do with the roads. Here's how we're going to have separation between the single family and here, between the multifamily, between the commercial. And then once they get their general approval, they come in with the final plat. They would present that to you. Frank would approve the roads, everything in there. We would approve everything else. And they would build exactly for that plat. You know, we would allow... them to go about it. It's got to be fleshed out some more and everything, but it's in there. So, but by right, there should be things when you buy a property that is permitted by right of ownership.
Okay.
And then
there's
other things that would probably fit in this area depending on certain conditions. And they may not have to come before you, but then the condition may be that you have to come before you. So that's kind of what I'd ask you to fill out. And so I'm not making all those decisions. But for my homework, I need to get for you before next meeting a copy of the
overlay,
Aegis map,
and then if there's another overlay
the county's GIS.
Of county use or county tax.
We can use the
district
existing uses according to the assessor's office. And Aegis's map, as that map is revised,
and
I'll look at both of them, I guess.
I'll get you copies of both of those. We will update the bylaws and bring you that updated copy for you to see. And then you can go over that.
And then you're going to look at the issue of the
duplexes. Do you have concerns about having duplexes with multiple owners in Taney County and no building codes? If you don't, I mean, I could see potential issues, but we can't protect everybody. It is our job to watch out.
Yeah, but you can't control if this person here owns this one here, and the guy that bought this one over here comes in and he keeps his lawn manicured.
I cannot
and
control
cleaned
that.
Up, and this guy over here piles his trash in the middle. You can't control that.
You're right.
What kind of situation you're going to run into?
Well, there's issues that go on behind the scenes with this every day. I mean, even with its condominium or which, it goes on every day with the duplex.
I live in a duplex right now. I mean, if I want to,
and you own your half, and somebody owns the other half.
If I want to put vinyl siding on it. It's all got vinyl siding all the way around. It's all the same color. I've got to get together with the owner next door and decide what we're going to do for vinyl siding if we're going to reside. Because you're not going to reside.
You could.
Half
you
of
could,
it.
My concern more is when it gets structural. Is my big issue. If the roof begins to leak and you're having a big problem and you say, we need a new roof and I don't have the money, I say, I'm fine. But again, if it's built correctly, you don't have that issue.
You got the right, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But we can't tell them to build it correctly because we can't do building code. But if it's built correctly with that one wall, your roof can leak all at once, and it never affects my place.
Well, on the other hand, I agree with what you're saying, but if you've got a condo association, who's to say they're paying their dues and there's any money there to
there's nobody
take
to say.
Care
there's
of that
nobody
anyway.
To say if you got a homeowner association.
Litigation.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. So I'm just saying, if we're chasing something, we don't need to chase.
The intention behind it, but at this point where we are in Taney County, and where we may be forever, is I think it kind of makes sense to look at that. I mean, why make it, if we can help the problem and it makes sense for Taney County, then we should look at that.
That's why I thought the PUD would be a good idea. Because if we have concerns, we just like we did with our height ordinance.
Right.
You alleviate my concerns, we'll let you go higher.
Right.
But you tell me how you're going to do it. Because I can't tell you what you have to do. That's why I thought we might be able to do something like that with the PUD.
Okay, so are you straight on your assignments?
Am I going to draw some lot sizes and stuff for duplexes?
No, but you're going to research a way to solve that problem. Okay.
Okay.
And then, so the two properties that you just... next time that we meet is a public hearing.
Yes, ma'am, that is correct.
But we don't have any properties. Do we assume that these were the concept hearings for those two?
No, we don't have a concept hearing next month also.
Right.
What you have come before you as public hearing would be the Washington. We have three. The Snowpaw fellow.
Okay.
You have...
okay, so you still have...
Pajama
Mama.
But I was on.
Okay.
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 So you will have that.
Okay. Okay.
When is that?
March the...
Well, that's the
question.
I'm sorry.
When is that?
Wow, that's cool.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
March 8th.
Will entertain me.
Entertain. Are we adjourned?
Yes, we are.
Adjourned.
Eddie?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Got it.
Thanks, Sam.
It's the Westminster Dong Show.
It just
started. Oh, whip it.
American Idol.
Whip it.
Yeah.
It's very nice.